When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This episode of Bridgerton with Mary and Blake is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. It's, of course, your one-stop shop for all things beauty and skincare related, seeing as how you're a listener of this podcast. If you'd like to get to know a little bit more about Minute with Mary, I highly encourage you to search the hashtag MinuteWithMary on Facebook and request to join my VIP group. It's free, I share loads of tips and tricks, and I'd love to get to know you better there. So once again, search on Facebook, hashtag MinuteWithMary.
Everything I told the Queen was true. I cannot stop thinking of you. From the mornings you ease, to the evenings you quiet, to the dreams you inhabit. My thoughts of you never end. I am yours, Daphne. I have always been yours.
Understand.
I do not know how to be any more clear.
Well, do you not get angry?
I'm not angry.
You look angry and bothered. Look at you, you're downright flushed.
Yes, that is what happens.
When one is angry.
When one burns for someone who does not feel the same.
You burn for me.
Why do you think I followed you into that garden?
Why do you think I went into that garden? If you would have only looked at me this week, for longer than 2 seconds, you would have seen. It is you I cannot sacrifice. I burn for you.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Bridgerton with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to Bridgerton on Netflix. So let's sit back, relax, and get ready to spill the tea. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I am in love with that slip-off glove move. Oh my goodness. I wish I could just be a girl just so I could have that happen to me. Can we invest in some like silk gloves that I can wear so you can do that to me?
So I can pull it off. Yeah, sure. Why not? You. Oh my goodness.
You know what? Hey, equal
your
opportunity.
Your birthday's coming up and at least now I know what to get you because you are difficult to buy for. That being said, everybody, we're going to be talking about all things coming off in this episode. But before we do, I of course want to remind you to subscribe to our podcast. We are now available in all sorts of podcast apps, but I am going to tell you, Apple Podcasts is the VIP.
Oh yeah, that's where you want to be.
In the sense that is where we are urging you to go and leave your 5-star ratings and reviews. The written reviews mean so very much. Blake and I read them and they're like little hugs, virtual hugs to us over the interwebs. Know that we cherish every single one of you who takes the time to write a review. So thank you so very much. And another great thing that you can do is actually share some of our podcasts on social media. If you are on Facebook, you can actually go to the Mary and Blake page and just hit that share button, share to your story, share to your Facebook wall, Instagram. You can take a screenshot of the podcast, share that in your stories as well. Twitter, you can retweet, and on YouTube, you can share however you like. You can learn more by going to MaryandBlake.com. I'll say it again, MaryandBlake.com. And we, of course, want to take a moment to thank our friends at JoinTheNerdClan.com who have made this all possible.
Yeah, you go over there and you can get all the great benefits that are part of the Nerd Clan, which is the premium podcasts, the bonus episodes of Mary and Blake properties that we do, free swag, the community itself, Blake's book club. I mean, it never, ever, ever ends. And of course, early access to all of our podcasts. You get a chance to hear it, every single one, before the entire world. So that is a big deal. And of course, you know what? I'm feeling a little generous today. Right now, we got 36 reviews over on Apple Podcasts.
On Apple Podcasts, okay.
So here's what I want to do. The next 10 reviews that we get, written reviews, one of you will get a free item from the Marion Blake store. And it can possibly be a Bridgerton-related item. I have some new swag Ooh. That I'll be publishing on the Marion Blake store tomorrow, so I'm very excited about that.
So if you've already written a review or you write a review, please send us an email, maryandblakemedia@gmail.com, with your handle that you would have used for your Apple podcast,
yes.
so we can award one of the first 40th people who
yes.
have...
All right, I like that.
Yeah. So if you've already written a review or you do write a review this week,
yep.
email us, maryandblakemedia@gmail.com, with the Apple podcast handle you used,
yep.
and that way we will be able to verify and send you a reward for one of you lucky people of
I
the
like
first
it.
40.
And of the next 10, one of you will get a free item from the Marion Blake store, too, as well.
Oh.
As well.
We'll give two away. Why not?
We have two. Sure, I'm feeling generous. I'm feeling generous.
Listen,
if I'm getting a satin glove, they're going to get a shirt or whatever they want.
I'll see if I can find one that can fit those gnarly hands. Let's get into the show.
Let's do it.
Hey, Blake, break on down the episode details for me a little
bit. This was the title, The Duke and I. That's what the title of this episode was, which apparently is the name of this book
the
that they're adapting.
The first book in the series,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, I did not know that. So I learned that in my research today. So,
ooh, yeah. Very nice.
Yes, all you book nerds are out there. I'm like, of course, Blake, how do you not know this?
I've actually ordered the book.
Have you?
Yeah, but I do not want to read it until we have watched this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And the director was the same director from last episode in Affair of Honor. That is my phone going off. Rookie mistake, Blake. Sheree Folkson, she did an Affair of Honor.
Okay.
And the writer was Joy C. Mitchell. She has done a few other episodes of television, including one called Deutschland 86, The Letter for the King, which is also a Shondaland show.
Very cool.
On Netflix. Mm-hmm. It came out earlier this year, 2020. And of course, this show, Bridgerton, she actually served as an executive story editor on Diamond of the First Water and Shock and Delight, which were the first two episodes. And her written by credit is for this particular episode, The Duke and I.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know all you nerds are out there are asking, Blake, what is an executive story editor? I know that there's also a title called story editor. What is the difference between the two?
Oh my gosh.
And, you know,
I'm going to sit back and let you educate me. Take me to school, Blake.
So they are indeed two separate titles. Although they aren't much different in that a story editor is someone who is, you're not really like editing, you know, in quotes, stories. You are pitching ideas to the writer's room. You are looking over scripts. You are making sure that there aren't mistakes. You are making sure that any changes that are done are actually accounted for in the room. They're accounted for and then distributed out to the rest of the writers. And essentially, as a story editor, you are a second-year writer, or what's called as a baby writer, which is like someone you're getting up there. You've moved beyond staff writer. You've become a story editor. You've been hired again. You're kind of somebody, but you're still nobody at the same time.
Okay.
But an executive story editor is the next level up. You're still a story editor.
You get a pin.
But you get like a pin. you know, you're earning like your brownie badge.
Okay.
You've got a brownie badge, and this is where you start to get a little bit more respect. You're not just a baby writer anymore. You've actually graduated up. You're at least in your third year of professional writing on a show, or you've moved from one show to the next and you've earned some stripes here. This is the step that you take before you become an official credited writer. Although, unlike a staff writer, as a story editor, your name is plastered all over it every episode of which that you are a part. So you're actually getting credits, but just as a story editor or an executive story editor.
Okay.
So that is that.
Super confused, but okay.
So what is your cups of tea rating, Marvin?
Oh, I'm giving this one another 5.
Okay.
Thoroughly enjoyable. Great for rewatching. Lots of wonderful speeches. Thank you, Simon. Of course, we get to go to a lavish wedding. I mean, hey, where can you go wrong? So a 5. How about you?
I'm giving this one a 4.5.
Which is your highest of this season.
It is absolutely my highest, okay. And I'm proud to give it my highest.
I am excited for that.
We're going places now. We're getting some steam here, if you will, figuratively, literally, and sexually. And now we're talking. So yeah, I really like it. As a matter of fact, I like how Sheree Folks and what she does here is she continues this. Remember how in the last episode we talked about conflict and how that it's centered, this episode centered around conflict? Mm-hmm. She continues that theme here. She continues that feeling and being right in the middle of everything, whether it is Daphne when she is very combative and she's putting Lady Cowper in her place, or she is controlling people, or if she is having an issue with Simon at the end of this episode. You are right in the middle of it again. And mm-hmm. I am very happy with that direction. So 4.5 cups of tea.
Fabulous.
For me. What's your GBG? You're good. You're bad. And you're great.
Oh, my good is Simon's speech to the queen. Granted, he and Daphne really hadn't had that much eye contact, but just the whole, like, I've been longing after this woman. I love her so very much. I can't wait another day to marry her. Please let us have this lovely wedding that we so desperately need.
Almost played that clip, by the way. Almost.
I appreciate that you played the second one.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's actually my great.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, my bad. Lady Bridgerton doesn't explain sex.
Yeah.
It's like the summer rain soaking the fields. That's pretty much what you get. And there is no doubt that Daphne is soaked after that grumpy pompy.
That's what she said.
Oh, what? This may hurt
Mary,
a bit. What?
Mary, you get...
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
That's what you get.
The question is, who wasn't after watching that?
Wow. Coming down from the
Where's
top
my
rope.
Vagina monologues script?
Seriously.
It was like a flood.
Coming from the top rope on that one.
Hey.
Look at you.
I'm just saying that's my bad. I just feel so badly for anyone, even modern day, who isn't... learned of the birds and the bees and how mm-hmm. things work. Anyway.
Yeah, sure.
And then, yeah, my great was the burn for you. And I burned for you, too. Holy flippin' smokes.
Yeah.
While they're near a fire. Rip those clothes off. But really, that speech that Simon gives. And, you know, Daphne is saying, like, are you mad? Like, this is how you're flushed. And, you know, for him to explain, like, this is how it is. Mm-hmm. This is how it is for people who burn when their love isn't. You know, isn't
it's
mutual.
Sure.
So loved it.
Love
Blake,
that too.
What is your GBG?
Mary, I have to co-sign with you on that one. The burn for you. Just it's just that's a line that you just don't forget. I burn for you. Like that is good stuff right there. That is good stuff.
Like that's going to be the line that I remember from Bridgerton. Whereas, hold on tight, spider monkey is what I remember from Twilight.
Two totally different applications, by the way. We look at that. Although
rich man getting with, you know, the like, true. Oh, I'm just a little quiet.
Well,
person.
The other Twilight reference that we have constantly is
say it.
Yeah.
Out loud.
Yeah, that's the one I think of, I think.
I know that's the one you think of. Yeah. I think of Spider Monkey. Thank you, Robert Pattinson, for your improv skills.
Oh my god.
No! So
okay, Batman. All right, what is your GBG, Blake?
Can't wait for him to be Batman.
Oh, he's going to be so perfectly emo.
Oh, he's going to be the best Batman. Although Christian Bale, hashtag my Batman, I think. Okay, so my my good is the moments of them, Simon and Daphne, becoming intimate. After that I burn for you bit, their movements and their ways that they revolve around each other is very much like a dance.
Ooh.
Very much like a dance. How she grabs his shirt, she brings
him in. Not the Cat and I Joe.
No, and he unlaces her corset, mm-hmm. you know, from behind, and you could see it unraveling. And then he what?
I'm just thinking how happy I am that we don't have corsets.
Oh, thank goodness,
like,
gracious.
I wear Spanx, and it is not... I mean, here's the flip side, though. Corsets are a lot sexier to take off than Spanx.
Sure. Spanx are not sexy.
No, you pretty much uncase a sausage.
You know how when you cut down a sausage with a really sharp knife?
Yeah. That's what happens. Like, which person goes out on a date or goes to their wedding night and is like, I'm going to let you fully undress me. Oh. No, every lady in their right goddamn mind says, I'll be right back. They go somewhere else. You know, like... It's pretty much like you're an alien, like you're filled a bag shot, hold a Nagini inside, like you unzip yourself, your true self comes out. Hopefully the lights are off.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Seriously. Who wears Spanx to their weddings nowadays? Pretty much everybody. Do you think that that is sexy? No, it's not.
It's like Men in Black with the guy.
Yes. Yes. That's why I said alien.
Sugar water.
So, man. Daphne getting undressed after being dressed up fancy. Beautiful.
Mary, you make me hot. I'll tell you that.
Me getting undressed after a date night. Very different story. That's why we have to buy Blake a satin glove, because generally our undressing is not that cute.
Nowhere near that cute. And I don't look halfway near as good as the Duke of Hastings. It's just okay. It's fine.
Hey.
It's fine. Hey, no problem. You know,
that's why we watch TV.
I look at him. I'm like, man, I got to go to the gym.
That's
more.
Why we watch TV in our flannel pants as we eat Doritos. I burn for you. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Where's the cookies and the sugar water? Okay, Blake, what's your GBG?
That was my good.
Oh, okay.
I just loved how it was very much a dance. He gets on his knee. He finally gets on his knee the way that he should have done when he proposed.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten the proposal. That. Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's okay. Let's move on.
Technically, you haven't.
Yep.
The bad for me, though, was as much as I, you know, really got behind the prince in the last episode and really liked
Prince
him.
Charming.
And thought this was a good move, and he was a good guy.
Yes.
The problem that I have now is, sorry, our cat is in the middle
it's
of the
okay.
way.
She looks no. Let her
okay.
be. Let
okay,
her
fine,
be.
Fine. She's in the middle of the camera. If you're watching a live feed here, well, not the, well the feed. It's just a lot of Prince to deal with with it, and he's just there.
Yeah, like if he actually doesn't come back to, as a character, even to marry Cressida or something,
yep.
We just spent a lot of time with this guy.
Yeah, and he's just there. He's a dude. He's a dude that seems to be nice.
He's an upstanding
Prince
Charming.
Well, you know
what
I mean. He's just a guy. He's just a guy that showed up and provided a little bit of plot mechanics, and that's it.
He gave her a easy and reputable out. He gave the queen a good reason to want to postpone this wedding.
Plot mechanics,
so,
plot mechanics.
Okay, all fine, plot mechanics. Fine, fine. But I just loved how he was like, hey, Daphne, kind of thought we were on the same page.
That's true.
Are you okay? Is the Duke making you do this?
Right.
And she's like, no, I'm just in love. And he's like, that's okay.
Yep.
Best wishes to you, lady. And then the queen even says, go fight for her.
Yeah, and that's what I wish kind of happened. I wish that there was more to him.
He says they're in love, and he's all set. He's a smart man.
Yeah, but, you know, as a character, that's just so lame. I just wish that there was more. I wish that...
I mean, let's be real.
He's a legitimately nice guy.
But Daphne's like a bump on a log. Like, let's be real. When it comes to personality, schnoosh fast.
I'll co-sign with you.
He honestly was like, there's a million Daphnes right now.
That's true. Dime
like,
a dozen.
I know that we're going to get to meet more, and I know that about Daphne. I know that.
Sure.
We'll get to know her more.
But looking at it from his perspective.
And from mine.
Yeah, sure. But, I mean, at the very least, from his perspective, she is...
Like, he should hold out for Eloise. Now you're talking.
She would bring some fun to the party.
Hey, right?
She'd bring some fun to the party. All right, so my great is the fact that there is this scene between the queen and the king, who, at this point so far, seems like, you know what, he's kind of back to normal. And
he's not dead.
He ain't dead, and he's there. And she... They're having a real conversation, and she says, wow, I can't believe you're here. Great to see you. And you can see the light in her eye as she sees her king. It's not just the fact that it's a king. It's her husband. It's someone that she loves. She's extraordinarily happy to be around. And then it quickly devolves. Like, within, you know, a finger snap, that's it. That's the end. And he starts saying that she's got to get killed and the whole thing. And not only is that happening, but you see the heartbreak in her eyes.
The what, Blake?
The heartbreak as she walks away. And you can see that she has been dealing with this for a long time. So when she is saying things like, you know, is he dead yet or whatever, it's almost like a self-defense mechanism. I think that she has as the queen, where she's like, okay, is he dead? No. Okay, fine. We're moving on. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just her being cutesy. It's not just her being quippy. It's a self-defense thing.
Yes.
And I really, really, really quite like that, as I break my pen, which I didn't mean to do.
All right.
So that's my good, my bad, and
let's talk about the music this episode.
Oh, the music in this episode is...
You don't have a musical intro that goes into this part?
I don't.
Shame.
Well, you see, because I didn't want to commit necessarily in terms of the music, because if there wasn't songs that were used,
then you just don't have to play it. I think you need to get a music little thing, a little interlude.
Should I do one of the covers? Because that's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, hey, vamp for me for a little bit.
Oh, yay.
Vamp for me for a little bit.
So we're going to talk about the songs that were used inside this episode. Obviously, it's one of the really unique things that's happening within Bridgerton, as we are mixing some modern day songs into the scenes. And in particular, the evening time between Daphne and the Duke caught a lot of people's attention. There was a lot of chatter going on.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
I got you. I got a sounder for you. Okay. Ready? This is my favorite cover so far.
Break it on down for me. What music was used in this episode?
All right. So, by the way, this song is Bad Guy, the one that they used in episode 3, the one that also is used in the Umbrella Academy, which is a cover of Billie Eilish. Anyway, so the first one that is used is called Love Yourself by Sufjan Stevens. So it's during the wedding scene, and it's like this kind of like techno feel to it, which it's also balanced with this really classical piano at the same time. It is not necessarily a cover. It is actually the real version of it, and it really works for me. Mm. I love how they're experimenting with different sounds sonically in this show.
I want you to pull up each of these songs, I think.
Oh, okay. All right,
yeah,
fair enough. That's
so we
what
can
we'll
like
do.
Really feel it and taste it. A lot of people have already binged Bridgerton, and they may have forgotten what this song sounds like.
Okay, hold on 1 second. You know, you got me all messed up.
I did not mean to. We can blame Lumos. We can blame our cat.
All right, hold on. Let me bring this up real quick.
Okay. I'll put on my headphones for once.
See, this is live podcasting, ladies and gents.
Agreed.
This is you get warts
and
all.
Some people edit. Some people do all this fancy stuff. Not here in the Larson household.
You get the legit stuff, baby.
It's
here
like
we go.
You're right here with us.
All right, so this is Love Yourself by Sufjan Stevens. And I really like Sufjan Stevens only because I was introduced to him, actually, in This Is Us.
Very
he had a song
cool.
called Death with Dignity in that series, and it was excellent. So when I heard this, I was very happy.
And this, of course, is during their wedding.
Yes, as she is starting to walk down the aisle, and you see Simon looking at her and the whole thing.
Ooh, very loud.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that is Sufjan Stevens'
very
Love
cool.
Yourself. Okay?
Yeah.
And the next one is Beethoven Symphony Number 5, when the queen is reading the Lady Whistledown, learning about the engagement between
yes,
Simon
the Duke
and
Daphne.
Would you like me to play Beethoven Symphony
sure.
Number 5? Okay, you're going to have to vamp for me then.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got this. Oh, yes, Beethoven. Very exciting. Beethoven is quoted a lot, or brought up a lot by our little lad. He's a fan of Beethoven.
Yes, he is.
And Dvorak. He's 7.
Oh, yeah.
This is what happens when you're raised by nerds.
That's true. All right, hold on 1 second. I'm bringing him up here.
He kicks our butt in Harry Potter Trivia Pursuit.
Oh, my God. And heads
and,
up.
Oh, yeah.
He smokes us in Harry Potter. Heads up. He's a dork.
Oh, I love him.
He's great, though. Hold on. So this is what the queen is. Well, this is what's playing over the mic with the queen when she's reading note that from Lady Whistledown that, in fact, no, it was really the Duke that Daphne
is engaged to.
Is engaged to, which I thought was a cool little thing.
And then the song that a lot of people are talking about is Strange.
Oh, yes. I'll bring that up. Hold on.
And this is after the wedding, of course, with Daphne and the Duke after the ceremony, when they retreat to separate rooms at the inn before their desire brings them back together.
I really like this
that
cover,
door,
too. Yep.
And they consummate their marriage.
All right, hold on. I'll bring that up in a second. Hold
to
on.
This song.
This song. This song is great.
And this, of course, is a cover.
Yes. And it's by, who is it by? It's by, let me make my notes.
The cover?
It's by Celeste.
Yes. And the cover is by Chris Bowers.
Yes. Which, who is the composer for the show? Oh, I can just feel the silk. Oh, no. That's already happened by this point. Never mind.
Spanx is off.
It's already happened.
Hey.
So this is a Strange.
Yeah. Dig it.
So that's that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're
all
welcome.
Right, let's actually get into the analysis of the show now that we got to have that really fun walk down musical memory lane. But I think that's what we need to do. We need to have those little clips to refresh our palates.
Well, next episode I will be a lot more prepared. We'll go from there.
Shame, Blake. It's like we're busy with kids and a pandemic. We don't have sitters anymore.
When you drop that on me, you know, mid show, ladies and gents, you see live time how things happen here at Mary and Blake
and
Media.
I don't do any of that work. I just sit here and pet my cat.
Blake, why don't you? Hey, why don't you?
Why don't you like make this really dynamic and pull up all these other songs as we get into it? All right.
My middle name is Why Don't You? Blake, why don't you?
Let's get into the analysis
all right,
for the
so
show.
Let's do the big question, Mary. This is a really big question.
Okay.
Big scoping question for the entire show. Ready?
Yep.
Do they earn this moment? Do they earn the relationship between Daphne and Simon in this show?
Do they earn the sex?
Well, does the wedding? Did the
like,
show?
What moment are we talking about?
Yeah, did the show earn the "I burn for you"?
Yes.
Why do you think they earned it?
Because of Simon.
In what way? What do you mean?
I think because we've seen Simon's dark upbringing.
Yeah.
And we were able to see what he has gone through. And we were able to see the promise that he made for his dad. We were able to see the dark side of Simon. We've been able to understand why he is the way he is and how this is the forbidden fruit on so many levels. Getting married, it's Antony's sister, you know, all these different things. Not just the regular woman who he's rakish with. Mm-hmm. It is because of Simon and his glorious speeches that he gives in this episode that it is deserved. It's not to say I don't like Daphne. I do. Mm-hmm. I just don't
find... You got
find...
a little bit of a Daphne hate in this episode.
I don't have depth with Daphne yet.
Okay.
Okay?
Fair enough. I'm not saying that you're wrong.
Like, woe is me. I'm the diamond in the rough and everybody wants
it's not
me.
Diamond. This isn't Aladdin,
Mav. Okay? That's what it freaking feels like, okay?
Diamond in the rough.
Like, where's Jafar? Right? Just because you're Aladdin in this story doesn't mean that you have to be my favorite. And it's not that I don't like her. I like her. She's pleasant. I would totally be her friend.
Sure, yeah.
You know, I don't not like her.
You would definitely be Eloise's friend. You would, and you would put up with Daphne.
I think I would be Eloise.
That's a good point. That's a good point. That is a good point. So I think at that point, you would just put up with Daphne. I don't think that you'd be her friend necessarily.
Eloise and Daphne have a mutual understanding, okay?
Yeah, sure. Why not? So you think that they earned this development? You think that they earned the...
Why do you not?
I kind of do.
Okay.
It's not to say that I don't think the Duke doesn't have feelings for Daphne. I think that he does, but the "I burn for you" comment, that to me sounds like Jamie Fraser from Outlander.
Yes.
That to me sounds like he's talking about Claire. And I don't get the Jamie Fraser feeling from the Duke. Though, I will say too, I didn't get that feeling from the wedding in Outlander either. So...
So you're just saying this is very new in the relationship. It's
very
puppy
new.
Love.
Yeah, and I just don't know how... I don't know. I haven't seen the interaction between them to warrant this kind of "I burn for you."
Can you do the burn as a lust and an admiration? An early admiration, a puppy love admiration.
I don't see lust.
I mean, although, how many summer romances feel like they burn?
Yeah, that's true.
You burned for me after you met me.
Absolutely.
See? So it's okay. People can do that early on.
Yeah, but I think the show spent so much time telling you that it was a ruse that you almost kind of believed it.
We all knew it wasn't. Did you see those hands touch the painting?
That is true. That again, you are, once again, you are right, Mary. I will admit to you on that one that you are right about those hands touching the painting. The whole thing, absolutely true.
Yes, burn.
So I think
right
that's
if there.
you're gonna provide evidence for me,
the match was lit.
That was that should be your case number one right there. That
yeah.
Would be, Yeah, so that's that. That's the that's my big overarching question for this episode.
You want to know my question?
Yes.
Do you know who Benedict got down with?
Yeah, Sir Grenville's wife.
Oh yeah.
She was one of the chicks that he was, you know.
Yes, with Miss Modiste or whatever her name is.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Yeah, he was just like, "This is a great place. I'll hook up with you. All right, cool."
I can honestly say that I've never been to a party like that. I've been to a lot of different parties, and I see from your face, it looks like that you have. Wow.
I'm not saying I participated that way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I didn't participate that way.
Don't even want to know.
No,
Don't even want to know.
I told you, man. Like, people in the arts...
People are weird, man.
We can appreciate a lot of things about others.
Oh, my goodness
gracious.
What do you
mean people are weird?
You are people
weird.
There is
more than enough love to share in this world.
Band/art people.
It was also a theater party. Okay?
Oh, my goodness. Even worse. Even worse.
Even better, some may argue.
But, you know, is there further evidence here that there might be somewhat of a tryst that will develop between Sir Grenville and... Benedict, do you think that is where they're heading here?
I'm a little confused. Like, is the fact that Benedict is down with the orgies going mm-hmm. to come back and actually be a problem for him? I mean, we already know that Antony having an affair with Sienna mm-hmm. is bad in society's world.
Like, yep.
What about Benedict, who's just like fooling around, covered in pastel, doesn't know what's going on, you know? But Mr. Grenville is obviously very upstanding in society, and maybe he's just going to encourage him in his ways. I'm down with however this plot goes.
Yeah. By the way, for me, if they have this tryst or this relationship, great, let's do
Benedict
it.
Benedict and Mr. Grenville.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, great, let's do it. I'm in. Let's soak it all in. But I don't know what the show is telling you right now. I'm confused by it.
Well, yeah, is he just showing Benedict, like, go make love to the world, whoever that world is, male, female, one person, two person, like, go and, you know...
Right.
See the world sparkling, shimmering, splendid. Or
that's another Aladdin reference today.
I did that on purpose.
Oh my goodness.
Like, did it on purpose. This is going to be an Aladdin theme. Or do we think that Henry and Benedict are becoming an item? I don't necessarily see the Henry Benedict thing. I just see Henry saying, like, welcome to the club, man.
Yeah, I think you're right. I just don't know.
Yeah, we're going to see.
I think the show is telling you multiple things at the same time about this potential relationship or even friendship.
Yeah, I'm down.
And the fact that, you know, Benedict is off banging this guy's wife at the same time. Hey, man, that's cool. You want to do that? That's cool by me. I ain't going to yuck somebody's yum.
You know who I am going to yuck?
Who?
Cressida.
Yeah,
Cressida Cowper, blonde braids.
Yeah, out on her.
Who is just like all set.
She kind of reminds
Daphne.
You know who she reminds me of? This is who I was thinking. Remember in The Matrix Reloaded?
No.
No, remember the twins with the white braids,
yes.
With the white dreads?
Yes.
And the big chase scene on the highway? Yes. That's who she reminds me of.
Okay.
She reminds me of one of those guys had a baby with like the queen of the Borg from Star Trek.
Okay, Blake.
You know what, Mary? I'll play
yeah,
it for myself.
Thank you. Nerd!
Just throwing that out there.
So Cressida is just all set with Daphne. You know, you are just a tramp who made out in the garden. I know what happened. You know, Daphne, while she's getting fitted with the dress, she like kind of tries to see what Cressida knows. And Cressida knows a lot, which really makes Daphne know she needs to get married. And she needs to get married quick.
Well, this brings us back to the question that we had last episode. Does Cressida really know, number one? And then number two, even if she did know, would it make a huge difference?
And did she pick up the necklace?
That's a big deal.
Where the heck is this necklace?
That's like, that necklace is probably worth like $100,000.
I would be all over it. Okay?
Out there with the binoculars.
Nancy Drew got nothing on me. Cressida. Like, I want Cressida to be rocking that necklace and to just like walk around town with it. Once the prince is gone, look what I found.
Yep.
Finders keepers.
So I like, though, how Daphne does put Cressida in her place, where she's like, I'm going to be a duchess. Or at this point, it was a princess, whatever it was. And you would be smart to be my friend. Because if you're not, then who were you?
So we got this issue, though, where Daphne wants to get married to Simon quickly and vice versa. You know, they want to get married quickly. They go with Antony to go see the bishop. And the bishop's like, yeah, I can't marry you this week.
Yeah. Sorry. Just can't do it.
Just can't. And the ladies figure out it's because of the queen.
Sure.
The queen absolutely. Was maybe trying to stall to let Prince Friedrich.
And it's Danbury who does it.
Danbury,
Lady
right.
Danbury is the one who's got the smarts.
Yes.
She's the smartest woman in the room.
She's got the whistle down smarts. I'm telling you, she's really smart.
She might be.
But you know what?
I wouldn't be surprised if she was Lady Whistledown, because you want to know why? She's maneuvered this whole thing from day one.
But she gets asked if she's Lady Whistledown.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. So what?
You're right. People can fib. People fib all the time.
But I do make the argument that when Benedict says the thing to Eloise, are you Lady Whistledown? I immediately throw her out of the running, just because the way that she reacted to it, whatever, just, you know, it doesn't feel right. Danbury, though, it feels like she, since the beginning, has been taking care of the Duke. And obviously. And this feels like her maneuverings. This feels like she is using Lady Whistledown as a way to get what she needs. Mm-hmm. And that is to take care of Simon.
Okay.
And if that is pushing Daphne down a road of going to the prince only to have it come back. And you notice how she's pushing the Duke to do what he needs to do and the whole thing. Yeah. This might be a real good thing that you're putting out there, madam.
But of course, you know, she puts two and two together and says, this is all because of the queen. You guys have to go and plead your case.
Right.
And then the queen can make this happen. And luckily they go, and Simon opens his glorious mouth to spout his truth, which we find out.
Yeah.
But, you know, he says all this lovely stuff about Daphne and about their love and how they need to get married. And they do get married at like the smallest wedding.
Gets COVID approved.
Probably is. And still, where is this fourth daughter?
Right.
We still see Daphne, Eloise, Hyacinth.
Where's the other one?
Where's the fourth one?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Now, a bunch of people have told us that they've named all the kids after the alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, or whatever it is. But I still don't know all the names of the kids. Whatever. One of them is Gregory, apparently.
Maybe he's the little boy.
Yeah, sure.
He must be the little boy.
Whatevs.
Okay.
Stats are for nerds.
All right.
I don't know. You know what I did notice, though, is during the wedding scene, if you
notice.
That's
really smart to name them after the alphabet if you have that many.
That's true. Might as well.
Hey, where's F?
Where's F? Oh, you just give him a number, like the Umbrella Academy. Yeah, where's one?
Exactly.
Where's two?
Yeah.
During the wedding scene, when they are standing together, both Simon and Daphne, if you notice, they have a shot from above, and that shot from above is spinning in a circle.
I didn't notice. Okay.
And in that circle, that is obviously symbolic of wedding rings. It is symbolic of the bond that is being created, that it is, in fact, it circles in on itself. It is unbreakable. A circle is an unbreakable object. And the idea is that they are circling around themselves and they are starting a brand new pattern of life.
That's so deep, man.
So I love that kind of...
No, I appreciate it.
I love that kind of pathway that the show is... Again, the visual storytelling here is pretty damn good. What do you want me to tell you?
I love that you pick up on those things and I pick up on the heaving bosom of Lady Bridgerton and how honestly...
Yeah.
Oh. She could take a nap by putting her head down. Just... It's like someone got an airplane headrest and just shoved it in her dress.
That's how it was invented. They saw Lady Bridgerton.
Tie, just rest your head forward.
Just put your head down.
Aw, cozy.
The show really has these two...
You could tell that she nursed 8 babies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to try in this video right now. I mean, if I had to wear a dress like that... I probably would look the same.
No, you have to push in and up. That's what you would have to do. Give me a go. Give me a go.
Oh my God.
In and up. No. From the front.
On?
From the front, Mary.
Listen, this is going to be marked explicit on YouTube or something. I can't. My kids one day, they're going to go back on this. My dad will find it.
Oh,
that watch
man.
That be like the frozen image that Facebook decides.
Just Mary groping herself.
Yeah.
The show... has two pivotal moments. One,
neither
of course,
dealing with cleavage.
Neither with dealing with cleavage. Although one is cleavage adjacent, so we'll get there.
Okay.
The first one being the confession, if you will, to the queen, or the admission about Simon's love for for Daphne, and then also, of course, the I burn for you scene. Both to you, Mary, do they feel genuine?
100%.
And do you think that both were handled the right way?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like they were.
I'm down.
I feel like
I'm
they're
down
believable.
With the Duke.
Down with the Duke. Yeah. That's the new shirt. That is the new shirt, ladies and gents.
Perfect.
I feel like both of those scenes are pivotal. I think upon which this entire series will probably rest. And you had to nail them. You had to thread the needle because there is such a odd and vibrant tone about this show. You have to make it genuine. You have to make it real. And I think they achieved it. I think they nailed it.
Agreed.
I think they nailed
Speaking of being nailed.
Oh,
that's what she said.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were continuing.
Really,
I apologize.
Just, they have sex.
Well, speaking of nailed,
yeah,
let's talk about Marina and Colin.
Oh.
Because this is a big deal, what's happening here. This is a big deal. Colin, who is just out of school, is going to get married to Marina. And Penelope is kind of going out of here a little bit, saying, you're going to trap him. And that ain't good. It's not good. And what do you feel about this whole... choice, this how this feels really calculated and not as in contrast, definitely not genuine.
Oh no. I mean, I'm still not getting any great Marina vibes, sadly. I know that hopefully I end up liking her, but I just don't, because yeah, she is trying to trap Colin. She literally tries to bring him into the study so that she can make out with him so that he has to propose. And then being the kind, wonderful person that Colin is anyway, he proposes even though they didn't even hook up.
Yeah, right. Is Here's another big arcing question. Is Marina a likable character?
Not to me yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one.
Once again, woe is me. I'm beautiful. Everybody wants me. I'm pregnant. Like, I feel bad that she's pregnant, and I feel bad that she was pretty much locked in the tower for a little bit, but I don't feel bad enough yet. We need a little bit more background story with Marina. We need something. I don't feel bad for her.
Right now,
and she's stealing Colin away from Penelope,
and that's the thing. That's what makes her right now unlikable.
And how dare she possibly get married when the Cheese Girl doesn't get to get married? Cheese Girl deserves love.
What do you mean,
Filipina? Filipino?
Oh, Filipina. Okay,
whatever. Yeah. Philadelphia cheese. I don't even care. Velveeta.
Velveeta.
Okay. Let the Cheese Girl.
This is Mary's gift, making up names for characters in TV shows. It's absolutely her gift.
I can't remember their real names.
Do you remember Cheese Guy and Outlander?
Yes.
Cheese Guy and Outlander always stands out.
Yep. And there's Pie Wench.
No, it's the Pie
Hussy.
Hussy.
Excuse me. Yep, Pie Hussy.
Lord Farquaad.
Oh, yes.
Go listen to Outlander Cast at outlandercast.com. You'll get all those inside jokes from Mary and Blake Media.
So, Colin.
Yes.
Probably somewhat engaged to Marina. Poor Penelope. We have Daphne and Simon having their rendezvous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, without completion.
Yeah. This is a big deal. Now, we all know, because we've seen the background information here, that Simon has made a vow to never have kids. And he made that vow to his dad just to end the line. And if you notice, he tells Daphne, I can't. Like, or I, he says it was more specific. It was even more specific. It was like, we can't have children or something like that. Or I can't give you children. And it was something along the lines of not of unable to have kids. It just, if you took the sentence and you looked at it, it was, I'm choosing to not have kids.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So when he ain't completed, he's putting a lot of hope in the pullout
elsewhere.
Method. He puts a lot of hope in the pullout method.
Yes, he does.
Which
a lot of people like to call getting pregnant.
Yeah. that's a big deal too. And I wonder if Daphne's going to catch on to that.
Well, let's be real. Daphne just learned nothing from her mother.
Right.
So she's probably in ecstasy. She's like, these fields are soaking wet. Fabulous. Just like my mom said. No cleanup on aisle 9 between those legs. I don't know. I don't know when she's going to figure it out. I don't know if she's going to I don't know when she's going to figure it out.
Well, who's going to be there to teach her to figure it out?
It's not going to be Simon. He's not going to be like, so.
Here's an early scribbling.
The towel I always put down next to me in the bed.
Here's an early scribbling prediction. You ready?
Okay.
This whole ordeal with the kids has been made such a big ordeal. In the sense that...
you say ordeal one more time?
In the sense that the Lady Whistledown ordeal has been made. They're absolutely going to get pregnant. And they're absolutely going to get pregnant by, season finale.
Awesome.
That's what I am putting the Blake Larson Garrett toss on that one.
I don't feel like this is, the biggest scribbling prediction, Blake, but okay.
No. The big prediction is that it's going to happen this season.
Once again, okay.
No, that's a bold prediction.
I don't think so at all.
It absolutely
Pretty
is.
Pretty much every single episode, Daphne has either said or had someone say to her, you want kids, your kids, your family one day, the family. Family has been, the little that I know of Daphne, the little depth that I have with her.
Sure.
She wants a family. She cares about love.
Yes.
She doesn't eat cake early. She doesn't eat.
Definitely doesn't eat. Definitely. If you want to fit in that closet.
Remember when Burbage or whatever his name is, when his mom was there and she's like, you need to eat small biscuits.
Yes,
she
didn't.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No, she probably has a very special diet.
Yeah. It's like.
One of those Healthy Harvest smoothie things.
She only does kale.
So gross.
Kale and strawberries with honey. You know, she doesn't do honey because it's too much sugar.
Well, you know how vegans feel about honey, some of them?
No.
I learned, because one of my friends is vegan, and she was my first vegan friend that I met.
Okay.
And I asked her okay, so you eat fruits and vegetables? And I said something about honey. And she said that she's such a strict vegan that she doesn't eat honey because you're stealing the bees' food.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure it's bee poop or puke.
No.
But the bees need to eat that, or their larvae need to eat it. And when you're stealing it, you're stealing their stores from their babies.
That is wild.
Made me feel so bad.
Nope.
But I love honey.
I'm out on being a vegan. Could not do it. I'm out on being a vegetarian. Couldn't do it. I'm even out on being a pescatarian. I gotta have all of it. I gotta have the whole cornucopia of food available to me. Look at me.
So what are we talking about? Not coming, babies.
Yes. And then what else were we talking about?
That your outstanding prediction.
Oh yeah, that's
of
what it was.
No one else
would ever think this.
No, I'm not saying no one else would think it, but this is a heavy take.
I know it's.
This is a heavy take.
Okay, yes, but I will sign on to it too.
And that it's going to be this season. It's not like in two seasons they're going to have kids.
They're going to have sex all the time.
Yeah, and this as you said,
Daphne's
the pull out
DTF.
Method, aka getting pregnant, is ain't going to work.
Yes,
ain't going to work. She's definitely
well
DTF.
Done.
All right, so
for all our Jersey Shore fans out there,
you have anything else to say about this episode?
I just want something for Penelope. Okay? I'm just given a little, like, please.
Yep.
Maybe the queen will look down on her. I have no idea. Maybe Prince Friedrich can get with Penelope. I don't know.
Definitely not going to happen.
Crap.
Prince Friedrich is out. Although, as you said, Mary, I would like to see him come back to do something else. I would like to see him come back into the picture for something. In one way or another.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
I don't know either.
He's already had his chance. They should have figured it out. They should have made it better with him and him fighting for Daphne. And again, making it a harder choice.
Then you would have felt bad for him and you would have, as a viewer, been like, well, maybe.
Well, that's the idea.
No, we don't want a maybe. She wants to be with the Duke. I want to be with the Duke, okay? We all want her to be with the Duke.
Fair enough. She's down with the Duke.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you got to say about this episode?
That's it.
You ready to do some Lady Whistledown power rankings?
Yes.
That's what happens when you burn for me. That's right, ladies and gents. She's burning for me right now.
Yep.
Here we go.
All right, starting things off, we will...
What's your...
My number... I only really have one. I think it's Lady Danbury.
You're not going to have... You don't have your top three? You're out on the top three.
I'm just done with people, okay? They're boring me.
Sorry, I'm not boring.
Okay, I'm just... Lady Danbury.
Lady Danbury or bust for you?
Or a dog.
A dog?
I don't know. I just want to know. It's like The Leftovers all over again.
Is it aliens?
And then Damon Lindelof saying, you'll never know. You'll never know. Will I know who Lady Whistledown is?
Yes, you're going to know.
Good.
You're going to know.
Better.
The show has made too much of a point. It's teaching you how to watch it, like we've said. It's making too much of a point
Julie
to tell
Andrews
you.
Gonna pop? Has Julie Andrews been like one of those 1031 Productions statues all along, but she's really a person?
Oh, I like that
she's
idea.
She's like living art.
She's living art. I like
and
it.
And Julie Andrews has literally just been there in every scene, pretending to like eat grapes.
You know, in the garden.
Being a fawn.
Maybe.
Just covered in like gray paint, and we never noticed. And then we're going to come back, and it's going to be all these memes of Julie Andrews as a statue.
Oh, man.
Lady Whistledown.
Oh, yeah.
The patience of a saint.
All right. For me, my top three. Number three. Number one. I'll give you my number one. My number one.
Are you just. Hurry up.
My number one is Benedict. Still Benedict. I'm still on the Benedict train.
Okay.
And I still love the idea of it being a guy.
Benedict, who's like, God, he should be getting his Social Security sometime soon.
Number two, the Queen's Servant. Still on the Queen's Servant.
He was there, too.
I know. He's everywhere.
He was the only one there in this episode holding a dog. The ladies in court weren't even there. It was just him with one dog.
Right, right.
Maybe it is the dog that's writing. And what's your third?
My dark horse.
Oh, Penelope. Fabulous.
Penelope. But she's moved down. She's moved down a notch just because this is a developing take. I got to see what happens.
Okay.
I got to see what happens with she and Colin and Marina. If bad things start coming out about Marina,
oh,
it's definitely her.
Yes. Because Danbury has no care about Marina.
When you were talking about Julie Andrews being just a fawn,
statue. Fawn, yeah.
All I could think of was
Mr. Tumnus. Mr. Tumnus. No. But with Julie Andrews' face.
Oh.
Now?
No. What was the Private Eye's name? And Gene Parmesan in Arrested Development. He would have all the disguises.
Oh, yes.
And then Lucille would show up and it'd be like, Gene Parmesan at your service. And yes. Every single time she'd say, ah, Gene! Like, that's what I think of with
Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews.
Incognito this whole time.
Julie Gene Parmesan Andrews.
Love it.
All right. And you ready for another scribbling prediction? Because I do have one.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
You like that sound? Bring it to me.
Part of my developing take here with Penelope.
Ooh, yes. I'm down.
Something bad's going to happen, Marina.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something bad happens to Penelope.
No. Penelope is going to be the architect behind something bad that happens to Marina.
Oh, my God.
Because you don't mess with a girl like Penelope.
Oh my God, I'm getting like visions of Johnny Depp from The Barber.
Sweeney Todd.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You think she's going to be something like wretched?
No, I don't think she's going to go full villain.
Oh, dear.
But I wonder if she starts manipulating things a la Lady Danbury.
Oh, okay.
You know, she just starts...
Not like murder.
No, not... She ain't going to go slitting throats and turning them into meat pies. But, you know, you just start pushing the nudge in here a little bit. You know, all it takes to push somebody is just a little bit of a nudge. You know, and you never know. Just, I'm throwing that out there.
I don't even know.
Penelope's going to be doing some stuff.
Okay.
Looks like we have a visitor. Hi. We have a visitor, a special guest, a very special guest.
A little less. Let's wrap this up.
Yes, let's wrap it up. Hey, my little darling, do you have something to say to all the listeners right now?
No.
You don't want to say anything?
She's shy right
she's
now.
Shy? Okay, no problem. You ready to close this up?
Yes.
Let's do it, shall we?
We shall.
Oh, okay, this is me. All right, fair enough. Here I am looking at the, I'm producing the podcast and then I'm getting the finger point. Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us today for Bridgerton with Mary and Blake, the number one Bridgerton podcast in the world, which I'm very excited about. So pumped that we can say that about our little show here that we produce. And it's all thanks to you guys. So please continue to listen to the show. Subscribe to the show if you're not already subscribed. Go to maryandblake.com to check out all of the other podcasts that we have in our media company, whether it is our show for Outlander called Outlander Cast, or This Is Us 2, or The North Remembers, which is about Game of Thrones. There is our Rise Up podcast about Hamilton. There is, oh my goodness gracious, what else? We got the Potterverse about Harry Potter.
We got lots of things.
We got the Leftovers podcast.
So you can check them all out.
Yeah.
maryandblake.com. But we especially want to thank our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. And if you've been listening to Bridgerton and we're bringing you some joy, maybe you're sipping some tea or coffee or driving to work or doing something, if this brings you joy, we do recommend that you go to jointhenerdclan.com, where as little as $2 a month, you can help continue to make this possible.
Yep.
As Blake and I said earlier, you know, we're two crazy parents with little kids. This media company is an important asset to the fiscal means for our family.
Right. And unlike most of the podcasts that are starting to take over the podcast world, this is a privately owned small company. That's what this is. We make these podcasts for you guys, for the engagement of community, not necessarily to feed the corporate monster that there is for some of these podcast companies. So if you want to support a small independent company like ours, please go to jointhenerdclan.com, become an official Nerd Clan member, and get a whole bunch of really cool stuff that we give in that community as well.
It's like PBS. It's
yeah,
listener
right?
supported. It's supported by listeners like you. So to keep things like Bridgerton going,
we can keep talking. We can
yes.
keep talking about Jean Parmesan, and we can keep talking about all those good time things.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Man, we're here.
And we want to thank those of you who already do contribute. I sit here with my 5-year-old little lass in my lap, and we are so blessed that we can do this and bring you some joy in these crazy times.
Yep.
So we just want to thank you. All right. On that note, my name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
Go out there.
Say it.
I don't want to say it. Spill some more tea.
No, get some more tea.
Go.
Not spill more tea.
Lumos is covering it. Whatever. Let me know your favorite tea variety. That's what I say.
I'm just a regular good old breakfast bowl tea guy.
Okay.
I'm just that. Yeah, I don't need anything else. Maybe an occasional Earl Grey.
Okay.
Maybe.
I'm down.
If we're lucky.
You know what I'm going to go get?
What's that?
A little like sleepy time one.
Ooh.
The Well Rested by Trader Joe's.
Some lavender?
No.
No lavender in there?
No, more like a mint chamomile kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to drink lavender.
Don't want to smell lavender either.
No.
Not after Outlander.
No. All right.
Hashtag spoilers.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do. And start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.